Welcome to Pam and Logan Leet in Louisville, who previously have lived in many places, including Lexington, and they're joining us now to talk about a sailing adventure. Pam and Logan, thank you very much. And we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. And I want to know, first of all, how you two met.
Well,
You can tell your story first.
Yeah, I will. I was a sales rep for the ABC affiliate TV station in Lexington. And Logan at the time owned furniture stores. And my sales manager sent me out one day and said, you need to go call on this furniture retailer. And I did. And a year later, we were married. Is that close enough?
I bought a longer schedule than I planned.
nearly 40 years later, Sam.
How long have you been married?
40 years in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're still here, not too many scars.
Well, one of the things you guys gave me in your background email that I appreciate so much is that part of your dating, I believe, involved a sailboat on Cave Run Lake. Logan, talk a little bit about that. Was that something that you did before you met Pam, and how did that fit into the relationship?
I guess it ended up kind of fitting in a lot. I owned a small boat that I kept at Cave Run Lake before I ever met Pam. A few years before, I had sailed small stuff since I was a kid, but put a tiny little cruiser down there. And then when we started dating, number one, she had a couple of kids. So we would have like every other weekend that we might not have the kids with us. And we would usually go down to the lake and just kind of hang out down there. And we just sail out somewhere, drop an anchor. And I think we kind of got the affinity for getting away from people at that time, you know, to be able to find some solitude out on the water, which is not easy on a lake, as you know. So that's kind of led over time, I think, to us kind of doing this cruising thing. We went from there over time. We, as a matter of fact, our honeymoon, we chartered a boat, a bare boat charter down in the Abacos in the Bahamas, kind of before anybody knew where the Bahamas was or where the Abacos were. And it was a very isolated place at the time. And we loved it. And so almost every year after that, at least for a while, we would charter a boat somewhere.
And sailing also, aside from gave us an opportunity to be alone on the water and get to know one another, it was a great activity as we grew with the kids. I mean, you know, we started bringing them down to the lake, and then moving forward to spring breaks and Christmas vacations and all that, we were sailing together as a family. So it just built that. Our kids today love to sail. And so for 40 years, whether it was vacation or chartering with friends, we've been to some wonderful places, and it all started at Cave Run.
Can you name some of the places you've been to, Pam, sailing?
Oh, yeah. Well, again, he mentioned the Abacos, and then we've been almost every Caribbean island that there is. Where there's a couple more we haven't hit yet, and we probably will before it's all done. We've been to Greece. And when we were in Greece, we've been twice. We went for, you know, extended periods of time, 3 and 4 weeks. So we sailed to numerous islands.
Kind of two different areas. First time we were kind of over in the a little west of Athens, I guess, the Peloponnesian coast and that area. And then we went into the Cyclades the second time, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was probably 12 years later. And things had changed a lot in Greece by then. They had ice by then. That was the main thing I remember. I used to, I laughed the first time we went there. I could buy a pretty decent bottle of white wine for, I don't remember how many drachmas it was now, but it was about 30 cents, I guess. But a block of ice the size of a brick cost me about $8. So, and I had to buy it from a fisherman. So it's kind of been interesting over the years to see how things have changed in some of these areas. The Abacos is a great example. It's become this big tourist area, and a lot of Americans have homes there and so forth. None of that existed much the first time we were there. And we've been back there several times. And otherwise, we've sailed around Florida quite a bit. And before we even did this last trip.
So Pam, it's safe to say before the trip in 2019, the big trip is what I'll call it, you all had extensive experience with sailing.
I would say that we have. We have not done transatlantic type sailing. We discussed it. We have done that on cruise ships, small cruise ships, three times, which we loved. But we've never done that just the two of us. But we have done some overnight sailing and island hopping together. So, I think we both, particularly Logan, but I think I'm very comfortable on a boat today. We would not have gone on and done what we did starting in 2019 if I hadn't been comfortable. It's a safety factor as well as a fun and entertaining factor. You have to be able to run this boat totally alone. And I think I reached that point after 30 some years.
We'll talk a minute more about the details of the trip, but I'm curious, both of you, was this big trip something that you had talked about for some time?
It's really interesting you said that. When we first got married, I would say the first 10 years we talked about it. This is how we're going to retire. And it was really a plan. And then over the years, as one does, we started enjoying so many other things. I think, Sam, we had a bed and breakfast for a while, and I really got into the culinary arts and skills. Logan's a great photographer, but he's more than that. He's a phenomenal musician. So for about 15 years, he was heavy into music. And while we both were doing these other activities, the sailing thing kind of went on the back burner, other than perhaps a 2-week vacation or something like that. So we were thinking about retirement about 5 years ago, and what are we going to do? And we hadn't made up any decisions until we went sailing again. And we took 8 friends to the British Virgin Islands, 2 different groups. And so we were there for almost 3 weeks, and we fell in love all over again. It was like, we cannot give this up. So that kind of gave us the bug to get the true plan for retirement. And that's kind of when it started. I would say around 2018, we started looking for a boat, and we did not agree exactly what we wanted. I wanted, of course, something larger with a great galley, and Logan was looking at performance. Initially, we were looking at catamarans for the space, but when we ultimately purchased the boat, we were in a 39-foot Beneteau monohull, which, once we moved onto the boat, served our purposes very well, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Go ahead, Logan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The catamaran sounds like a great idea, but aside from tremendous cost by comparison, you're maintaining 2 engines and 2 of several things because you have 2 hulls. So the maintenance factor to me was probably the most important. That I wanted as little as I could get away with. And the boat we ended up buying also was kind of blue water equipped. I mean, we had a water maker plenty of solar and wind power, in addition to just the auxiliary engine we would have anyway. So we ended up having everything we needed. We had 2 cabins, 2 heads, bathrooms, if you will. And so we could have guests there and they could sail with us. And so we kind of covered everything, and we had 2 rooms to get away from each other.
Right. I think truly the one of the largest appeal, if you will, of the boat was we were self-sustainable. We could go sit on anchor or go to quote unquote deserted islands, if you will. And we didn't need to come back in. I mean, we would provision the boat with food and products that we would need, but between the solar and wind, as well as the water maker, I mean, we truly, even off the coast of Florida, we found a lot of places we didn't see anybody for a week, which for us is, we love that.
Wow. Logan, since we're not doing video, describe as best you can, especially for the layperson, what this boat looked like from a few feet away.
Well, unfortunately, most sailboats kind of look pretty similar. For those people who do know anything about sailboats, it's a sloop rig, meaning one mast, and very common kind of look. And actually, Beneteau is a very common boat. They're, I guess, today probably the largest sailboat manufacturer, of cruising sailboats. that there is. Otherwise, it's the pointy end and a flat end. I don't know how to describe it other than you're generally carrying two sails on it, a forward sail and then the main sail.
How wide and how long?
It's about a little over 39 feet, a little less than 40, and about 39 and a half feet long. And the beam of it going across, 16 feet. And, then the height, of the boat was right at, 53 feet, with antenna and everything on top, and wind instruments. Then the depth, that's the main thing that you worry about, the draft, the height going down, because of the keel. We were drawing about 5 feet underwater. So that's sort of give you an idea.
And the interior of the cabin had plenty of height. Logan's 6 feet tall, and that was not an issue. Some sailboats, that's a real issue. And we didn't have that problem at all.
We had plenty of standing room. It was a very roomy boat. Again, when you look at the length of the boat and then the width, the beam of the boat, it was kind of a fat boat, it was very roomy inside. The boat performed pretty well considering that it was geared a lot to kind of comfort, on the inside.
And I take it was a used boat or was it brand new?
Yeah, we bought it used.
And Pam, you guys went all in. From my understanding, did you sell your house to do this?
We did. We certainly did. And that was, again, we talked about this for the longest time. Keep in mind, when we did this, COVID had not hit the world. And so we sell the house with the intention we are going to sell at the very minimal the Caribbean. And so we started looking at boats. We actually made an offer on a couple of boats and started doing surveys, which is how we learned a lot, which was very beneficial, helping us find the final boat. But it was March 13th, I believe, when we made an offer on a boat that we withdrew because that's when, the announcements were being made on COVID. And we came home for a little while because we didn't know what that meant. And then when COVID started moving forward and we were all kind of learning how to deal with it, it was, I believe, September, is that right? When we finally bought this boat.
Yeah, we had an offer on the other boat, literally the day everybody decided this was sort of a real thing.
It's locked down.
COVID,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. kind of locked down. And we backed out. We kind of had an agreement verbally, and then we backed out of it and said, maybe we better see what's going to happen here. As it turned out, things would probably went the opposite of what we thought. Within 2 months, the sailboat market goes crazy. Mm-hmm. Everybody was trying to get away, apparently. So it was more of a seller's market in general, I'd say, by the time we actually bought our boat. And it's probably kind of remained that way until at least the summer. But the interest rates have probably changed that a little now.
How much did COVID change your trip?
Totally.
What you wanted to do and what you did do?
Totally.
Yeah, completely.
Our intention was to go down through the Caribbean, maybe all the way down to Grenada or somewhere of that nature. And we only planned on doing this for a year or two, which is about what it was, about 2 years, I guess, by the time we hung it up. But as it turns out, we never got out of the U.S. We really just stayed around the coast of Florida. It was so difficult to get into even the Bahamas originally. They wouldn't allow you at all for a while. And then the window of when you had to have a COVID test to get in was so short that it was difficult to do on a sailboat because you couldn't get there fast enough.
Well, it's also keep in mind we were weather dependent. So, we lived by a weather forecast, and the weather supposedly was going to be good on Saturday, and you plan a trip, and then a front would come in and we couldn't leave, and you'd already gotten your documentation to go to the Bahamas, then you had to start all over again. And then we also met other sailors that would make the trip and had to turn around and come back. And so
they got stuck.
Oh, they got stuck.
Some of them got stuck in the Bahamas, couldn't get out.
Yeah. Logan and I both are rule keepers. So we were not about to try to skirt around going into a country illegally. We do know that sailors were trying to go to islands that maybe weren't inhabited and do that. But a lot of risk involved with that. And so we stayed in Florida basically the entire time. Yeah. I have to give kudos to the state of Florida. They've got some of the most incredible state parks that we had never heard of. We would go there, and that's what I was mentioning previously. There would be nobody there. I mean, we could see the skyline of Miami and be in Biscayne Bay. But on these little deserted islands, which, like I said, we drop an anchor, we could fish, we could go into these little islands, we snorkeled, and never see a human being for days. Mm. Yeah. So, and we're always in contact via radio, you know, so mm-hmm. we never felt like we were sitting out there totally alone. But no, it was really almost like being in the Caribbean with all the benefits of the States.
Logan, was it kind of a day by day thing as to where you would go and what you would do? Did you have a schedule or a plan, or did you just say, well, we'll just hang out here for a while, or how did that go?
And we did do a lot of, we'll just hang out here for a while. We'd find somewhere we liked, we might just stay. But more than anything, it was usually the weather, you know, that's going to determine. Or where, you know, literally where the wind is blowing from, you know, we tried not to get into positions where we're sailing against the wind all the time, because it takes twice as long to get everywhere. So we would hopefully find favorable wind conditions, you know, when we would go, particularly if we were out on the ocean side, for instance, in Florida. You can follow even a sailboat. It gets pretty shallow, but you can go pretty far down into the Keys, at least say to Largo or so, on the inside of the islands, if you will. And that's really beautiful in there, and it's much more protected. But to go all the way down to the Key West and all that, we had to go out on the ocean side. So you're a lot more cognizant of what the weather's going to be when you do that.
So two years on the water, I'm curious, at any point did it get dangerous, either because of the weather or something else?
Well, it depends on his opinion or mine.
We'll start with you.
We did do an overnight. We were going down the coast of Florida on the ocean side, and the sailing was so incredible, and it was so good. Seriously, it was excellent. We were having a great time, and we knew there was a storm front out there, but we just kept on going because our goal was to make it to Key West. And we had a deadline, which is another thing we learned. You don't ever make plans in a sailboat, ever, ever, ever. You know, you've got relatives flying in on Wednesday and you can't get there. I mean, you just can't get there. So we're trying our best to get to Key West. And so we sailed all night long and got caught in a storm. And the only thing the only 10 minutes that I felt at danger was only because I couldn't hear Logan. You know, he's the captain and he is yelling out commands what to do, but I couldn't hear him. So I had to kind of go with my gut as to what I thought he was saying. And obviously we made it into port, but it was a scary 10 minutes, but I don't think anything worse than that ever happened.
Not really. We tried to avoid, you know, bad weather if we could. We're old enough to realize that, yes, things can go wrong, and we'd rather mitigate that as much as possible. But yeah, the one run she's talking about, I think we were out for about 22 hours. And what she's not telling you is the main reason we went, this was a pretty long distance. We ran from Stuart, Florida, or Port St. Lucie mm-hmm. on the East Coast, down to Key Biscayne and in one run. And normally we would have made a couple of stops overnight, but Pam hated the Palm Beach area. So and then Lauderdale was kind of a pain to get in there sometimes too. So we said, I don't know what happened to us. Like you say, sailing was good. Let's just go on, yeah. You know, yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm curious for laymen out there, and that includes me because I don't know much about sailing. How did you divide the duties up of when you were sailing? Like Pam was saying, she couldn't hear you at that point for 10 minutes. But on a normal day, who did what?
Well, that's a good question. I get one thing we thought about, a lot of people, or the conventional wisdom would be everybody should know how to do everything, because you don't know what might happen. The reality is you do end up with a division of duties. I was primarily concerned with the operation of the boat proper. Pam kind of handled everything else to the extent that you spend most of your time not sailing, right? So She really was busier in a lot of ways. She was the proverbial chef, chief cook, and bottle washer, and kind of made sure that we got the boat maintained all the time, against my will, but I was still having to do it. So she kind of handled most of the creature comforts. And at the same time, she's out helping me handle sales and all that too. So, I mean, she got a pretty good workout all the way around.
I really feel more comfortable at the helm though. Like if we're in a situation where we're, like we were in that storm, Logan kind of manages the actual sails themselves, and I'm at the helm. I feel comfortable there, but I can do the sails if need be. And we, in years past, we've had a couple of occasions where we've been gone for maybe a month, and maybe Logan had a day where he didn't feel really well, or, stuff like that. He wanted to take a day off from sailing. And so I've been kind of the captain, if you will, when we've had other people. But in general, he's the man in charge. And he's, again, his whole life is, he's had 60 years of experience almost of sailing. So I'm a newbie. I only have like 39 years.
When you say helm, you mean the steering?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That also involves kind of keeping an eye on instruments, depth, wind. We got all sorts of information kind of coming into the helm. Chart, we have, radar, kind of looking out for other boats and what have you, particularly large ones, because they don't even see you sometimes. When you're at the helm, it's more than just steering. You're kind of watching your depth and where's the wind coming from, and where you are on the charts and so forth. It's more than simply steering a boat.
All right, honesty test here. I know our listeners are going to wonder, even though you've been happily married for almost 40 years, were there points where you went, holy cow, I've had enough of the other person, or we need some space in a nice way,
Well, in a nice way. Absolutely. There were a couple.
That has nothing to do with the boat. We've been that way for 40 years.
there were times, I wouldn't call it homesick, because our kids would come down and visit us. And we talk about this all the time. Maybe we had some of the best visits with our adult children on the boat. So we're appreciative of that. But there were times I just needed to come home for a couple of days and see my kids and grandkids, just a taste of that. And I did miss, Logan and I laugh about this all the time too, I missed my bed. I mean, I love my bed at home. So I miss my bed. But other than that, you speak for yourself. You probably...
It gets a little close, for sure, but we're used to being together a lot. We've worked over the years. We've at least half the time, maybe more than that, we've worked together as well. So we're used to being together a lot all day, so that helps. A lot of people don't have that in their marriage. They go off to whatever they're respectively doing and then come home and meet at night. Whereas we, for a lot of our marriage, have done a lot of what we've done together in business and so forth. So I think it was a little easier for us in that regard. But do we bicker over? Oh, absolutely. It's the only thing that keeps us alive, I think, sometimes, is arguing.
Pam, paint a picture for us on a typical night or morning where the sun's coming up or coming down. Describe to our listeners what that is like out there on the water.
Sam, that's tough. I mean, that really is tough. It's almost undescribable in that it's spectacular. It really is. And both are spectacular, but it's almost in the morning, it's almost another renewal. I mean, for me, it's a very spiritual thing. I mean, it's like, you just cannot believe this incredible beauty. And at night, it's the same thing. It's like the earth's going to bed. It's just wonderful and beautiful and restful. We have got some incredible photographs, and every time we look at them, it's like it doesn't do it justice. It's truly an inside feeling, and I think we both feel that way. We love the morning and the evening.
Well, again, I think the beauty of what you're doing and sunsets and sunrises, I think, accentuated, because they tend, you know, everybody kind of reacts to that, I guess. When you're in that environment, particularly if you're out on anchor somewhere and there's not a bunch of people in it, and also by being out there, there's not a lot of obstruction. So you can see kind of a 360 degree view, and it does. It just gives you a better feel for the vastness of this world we live in, and you're just more in touch with the actual world as it is, you know, in a natural sense, which we miss a lot, you know. As we mentioned, you know, we live in the middle of the city here in Louisville, and you don't see a lot of that. You know, there's buildings around all the time. There's traffic diversions. And when you're out there, you get to, you know how it is. So if you're mm-hmm. living out in the country, right, you get more in touch with nature. And yeah. There is a beauty to that. And there's a rhythm to life that you just don't get in a city.
And the quiet, I mean, it's just, again, you cannot describe the quiet, because being in a city, there's noise all the time and you just absorb it. It's just there. But sitting on a boat, and maybe you might hear some water lapping on the boat, but you don't hear anything else. So we spent many hours just staring at the sky at night. We did, between all the stars and the constellations. And you might see some light from a city somewhere, but that was rare for what we did. It's very special. And but we've spent our whole life, as you know, we've spent 15 years in the country, and we, you know, on the sailboat a lot. So we really appreciate city life, but there's nothing like being away from people. Yeah, city.
I mean, that's kind of always been our mantra, I guess. We love living in the city. I love the vibrancy of being in the city and things going on all the time, and the availability of arts and culture and services and what have you. But it's just different. I mean, we've always said that we're great in the city, and we're great way out of the city. We're not great suburbanites, I guess, these days. You know, we raise kids in suburbia, I guess, right. And then after that, we pretty much haven't been there.
We've got about 5 minutes left. I know, Logan, you did a lot of maintenance on the boat, and that was just part of the trip. I also know that you all decided to come back, and you now have bought a home in Louisville, and I guess you sold the boat. Do you have another trip in mind?
Actually, we're talking about maybe doing a charter experience again somewhere. Literally, the last couple of days, we've been talking about this, perhaps going back to where we first honeymooned, which I think, I'm not sure Pam agrees with me here. I think it might be disappointing. I think because it will be so developed, and we've actually seen it since the first time we went there in the Abacos. It's so developed now, I think. We may be yearning for something that doesn't really exist in the same fashion it used to. But there's plenty of places we haven't been. We've talked about maybe Croatia, which is supposed to be a beautiful place to sail. And I mean, there's plenty of places to go. I don't know if we'll ever get to it or not, but if we're talking about it for a while, it'll probably happen eventually.
But I would say we both have a desire to get back on the water. We've been we've been gone too long. Since we came back to Louisville, which this is the irony of life, Our daughter has moved to St. Pete. It was a month ago. And our son just bought a house in Holiday, Florida, which is the Tampa area near Tarpon Springs.
That's funny.
So, yeah. So they, our son plans on being there 9 months a year, and our daughter has moved down there permanently. So I told them we're just going to be, they're running away from us.
I think, you know, they may be trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'm curious because I'm a fisherman. Pam, did you ever get sick of eating fish? It must have been fresh and unbelievable.
You know what, Sam, on a sailboat is a little tough. I mean, it really is to fish. So we didn't have great success. We could have had better success, but it's hard to sail and bring those fish in. We had many, many lines break on us.
Well, we, we caught a lot of things. We didn't get all of them in the boat. I had a friend actually over in Richmond, Kentucky, great fisherman and done a lot of saltwater fishing who I would call. I had an agreement with him. I was going to call anytime we caught something and ask him if we could eat it. Because if it's not a bass or a crappie or brim, I don't know what I can eat. So yeah. We did call him. He'd say, oh no, you don't want that. You know, throw that one back and stuff.
But like we that. Did eat well, Sam.
Yeah,
we
ate well nonetheless.
Yes.
A couple minutes left. Just some final thoughts. Pam, anything in particular that you just want to end this with that you think back on that you want to mention?
The only thing that I really would like to mention is if anyone is thinking about doing it, go on and do it. Don't wait. Do it now. It will be probably the most incredible experience of a lifetime. You will love it. You will hate it on certain days because it's tough and you have to stick with it. But go on and do it now. If you wait, you may never have the opportunity.
Logan?
I would second that for sure. And I think whether it's sailing or you go out and buy an RV or decide you're going to camp your way across the country, whatever you want to do, you should do it. And if you've got the ability to do it, I think it's a good idea to do it. My mother used to tell me, as she got older, she says, you know, I did a lot of things and I'm glad I did, but somewhere along the line, you reach an age where it's like, I just rather be in my own bed at night. And we want to do all this sort of thing before we get to that point. And, I think the worst thing would be to be having regrets. You didn't do something you planned on for years and years and then didn't get the chance to do it.
Great to have you both back safe and sound, and also to know that you plan more trips in the future and the family time you had. That was wonderful. Thank you all very much. And hopefully I get to see you soon.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. We
really
look forward
enjoyed
to it.
Yes.